Madagai Gimbai, Biriti Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hello, I'm Heidi, and welcome to another episode of King's Kids. For the next 2 weeks, Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison is talking about a particular aspect of spiritual warfare. It's where other people, other Christians in particular, cause us deep problems and heartache through personal attacks. Tony begins this week and finishes next week with some interesting insights from his own recent experiences with spiritual warfare. Here's Tony.
What do we do when the enemy comes against you? You know, for many years, I've often heard the scriptures quoted in Ephesians, put on the full armour of God. And you know, like most Christians, I never thought about it that much. Oh, there's times when you get in trouble and you feel like, oh, I better do that today because, you know, things are happening in my life. Well, I better be prayed up. And then I realised that, you know, if we did it every day first, before we started the day, then we wouldn't get into so much trouble as we do. And I discovered that the best thing for me to do is, if I say, well, I'm going to do it at lunchtime, or I'm going to do it at 10 o'clock in the day, it never gets done. But I find now that when I roll over, get out of bed, I pick up the Bible, because the Bible's on my bed, and so are my reading glasses. And when there's enough light in the room, if not, I'll turn a light on, and then I'll read it. And I've been really taking a lot of pleasure out of reading Psalm 91. It's actually a prayer for protection. And I've been praying it for me, my family, my friends, my loved ones, and just praying the protection over them. And then I go straight from there to Ephesians. Ephesians 6, verse 11, right through to 24. And then I just prayed that for the same amount of people. Then I get into my prayer time. And you know what? Over the last 4 to 5 weeks we've had a break. Boy, have I come under spiritual attack. The enemy certainly found me. I didn't have much of an holiday because I was constantly in spiritual battle, spiritual warfare with the enemy. And the thing is, it comes in all shapes and forms. It came through a woman that I was actually helping a family out. And this woman had demonic spirits. I know what you're thinking, that we have demonic spirits active in the world today. I mean, Jesus talked about them. He cast them out of people. And people don't realize that demonic spirits are out there and they exist. But, you know, if you look at the Aboriginal dream time, there's often encounters with the airy man spirit, or what you white fellas would call Bigfoot. It's a demonic spirit, and most Aboriginal people would understand when you talk about the airy man or the Yowie, is a spirit that comes to mind. And over many years of my life, I've often encountered demonic spirits, but I've also had the pleasure of encountering angels and seeing angels at different times in my life and times when I really needed to see them. But you see, attacks from the enemy can come in various forms. The old Aboriginal people used to point the bone, and a lot of people who believed in it would surely die because they believed in it. And when the bone was pointed at them, they knew. And I've seen the bone pointed at people. In fact, I've had the bone pointed at me. And I was on Current Affair once, and Current Affair was interviewing me in a place called Moree. The bone was pointed at me, and there's several ways you can point the bone at people. One of the elders put a curse on me, and he smashed an emu egg on television in front of the cameras, and he put a curse on me, and that was equivalent to pointing the bone at me. And I remember the reporter looking at me and saying, you know, Tony, aren't you worried about that? Aren't you really worried about what he's done? He's put a curse on you. He's broke the emu egg, you know. Are you worried that you're going to die? And I remember looking the reporter in the eye and saying, listen, my God is bigger than his God. My God is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is my Savior. He is my protector. And nothing the enemy can do or come against me will prosper, because God says, I am yours and you are mine, and I will protect you. And you know, God says in Psalm 118, verse 6, He said, if God is for you, then who can be against you and win? Nobody, not one person, not living on this earth, not any spiritual being, not any demonic force can come against you and win, because you know what? God has already had the victory. God has won when He died on the cross for us. When Jesus went to the cross, He took our sins, He took everything that the enemy can throw at us, and He nailed it to that cross. And there's nothing, not one thing, believer. And if you're out there listening to me today, you know, and you got a problem with demonic spirits, well, you can get rid of them. Because the Bible says the believer has the authority. Any Christian person who loves Jesus Christ, who's born again, they have authority over any demonic spirit. They don't have to be afraid. They don't have to be a kowtow to those spirits. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, I want to go back to tell you a story. For months now, I met a friend, and we've become friends online, and we've been talking and just sharing a bit about each other's lives. And she tells me about her children, and I tell her about what I'm doing in God and things like that. And for months, I kept getting these messages, please help me, please help me. And I'd ring up and I'd say, what's up? Oh, can you come down here straight away? Can you come down here? And this person lives down on the Victorian border. You know, I'm just a simple old black fella on a pension. I just can't jump in my Learjet that I don't have, and or my private plane, and fly down there and because somebody needs help. But I do what I do best. I pray for them. I rang them up and I spoke to this woman. And I said, what do you need? She said, you know what, Tony, I need a full exorcism. And I said, what crap have you been watching? The Exorcist or whatever else, you know? I said, it's very simple. I said, God never made anything so difficult. You don't need holy water and, you know, you don't need a big Bible and a cross and a wooden stake. You know what Jesus said? He spoke to the demonic spirit and said, come out. In his name, he said, come out. And you know, Jesus said to me, Tony, you can do what I do. And if Jesus said he spoke to demonic spirits, he says, come out. Then I believe if I use his name, his authority, not my authority, I don't have any authority. But if I use Jesus' name and his authority, every demonic foul spirit in the world, above the world, outside the world, wherever they are, has to obey God. Because Jesus has all authority and he's given us that authority. And you say, when I explained this to the woman, she thought it was too simple. She thought it was just too simple, too easy. She wanted the full deal, the full exorcism. She felt cheated if she didn't get it. Anyway, I said, well, I can't do nothing unless you want me to. And you know, you got to give me permission to do it. So we let it go. And another month goes by, I get the same message. Please, please, please help. So I ring up again, oh no, geez, you know, things are a bit better now, so it's okay. And I said, you know what, sooner or later you're going to face your fears and you're going to have to let me do something. And you know, we go to Christmas morning. I had the whole day planned, be with my loved ones, be with my family and kids. But you know what I decided to do on Christmas Day? I decided that I was going to ring, go through my phone and all my contacts and find people I knew who would be spending Christmas alone. And then I would ring them up, let them know that God loved them, I loved them, and just let them know they're not alone on Christmas Day. But you see, when I woke up at 5 o'clock, guess what was on my phone? Please help. Please help. Please help me. So what I did was I read the word. I prayed. I took communion and I decided to pray some more. And when I thought it was a reasonable hour, around about 8 o'clock, I rang the person and the person answered the phone and they was hiding in their room. They'd been under attack from demonic spirits and this person was so afraid even to talk. And then I said, are you ready to let me deal with this? She said, "You mean you're going to come and do a full exorcism?" I said, "No. Cut the crap." I said, "What I'm going to do is what Jesus said. It's so simple." So I explained to her, when we put our trust in God, when we put our trust in Jesus, the Bible is not a fantasy book. It's not a book of fairy tales. It's a book of promises. It's a book of instructions on life. From everything on life, it is a book of instructions. And God says to me, "Tony, you speak to those demonic spirits. You take authority and you tell them to come out, and they have to obey, because I do it in the name of Jesus." You see, what you got to understand, people, is this. There's no time or distance in the spiritual world. You mightn't think it's real, but it is real. There is no time or distance. I remember praying for somebody else, just as a little side diversion. I remember praying for somebody else once. A little girl. I prayed for a little girl. She was 2 years old. And her mum and dad said to me, she won't sleep in her room. And as I prayed for this little girl, I saw in the spirit world, I saw a vision from God. In this little girl's room, there was a demonic spirit in her room. And every time this little girl went in there to go to bed, this demonic spirit would torment her. And just torment her. She couldn't even be in that room. So when I prayed for this little girl, she was 2 years old at the time, I prayed for her. And then I spoke and took authority over that demonic spirit in that room. I spoke to that spirit and I commanded it to leave in the name of Jesus. And I saw it leave. And that little girl said to me, she said, "You know, Uncle Tony, I'm so much better. I feel so much better. You know what? She went home that night and was able to sleep for the very first time in that house, in her own bed. Because, you know, Jesus came to set the captive free. And when people are bound up with demonic spirits for whatever reason, whether it's the dream time or whether people invited them in through Ouija boards or whether people just, you know, through backward masking of music and things like that, there's a whole host of reasons why demonic spirits can come and live inside a person. They're invited in for a start. They don't just say, "Well, there's somebody over there. Geez, they look good. I'm going to go over there and get in that person and I'm going to create havoc and hell." It's not that way at all. They have to be invited in when they come in to dwell inside you. These things happen, but God always provides a way out. And when God provides a way out, it means the person's sick of living the way they are. Most people that are labelled in mental institutions, you know, a lot of those people are not just there because they're mentally insane or anything like that. A lot of those people are there because they're tormented by demonic spirits. And some people are even possessed by demonic spirits. Not all people with mental illnesses are possessed with demonic spirits. So don't go quoting Tony saying, "Well, you know, I got to get that demon out of that person." But if you want to cast a demon out of somebody, you know, you don't go around looking in under every tea towel and towel in the bathroom looking for demonic spirits. But God will show you when there's time to do something. And when the person has really had enough, they'll come to you. Like, for months I kept getting on my phone, "Please help, please help." So what I did with this woman was I explained to her what her condition was, that she was demon-possessed, whether through the ancestral thing passed down through the dream time or whether it was just something that happened through something else. But I said to her, "If you've had enough and you want to get rid of these spirits, then you let me pray for you. But you got to want me to pray for you, give me permission to pray for you." And I said, "It's so simple. The Bible says this. Speak to the demonic spirit, command they come out in the name of Jesus, use all authority under heaven and earth. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that lives in every believer." So you got to understand that. Most Christians don't realize they have authority. Most Christians don't realize they even have power. Some of them who claim to go to church, a lot of churchgoers wouldn't even know Jesus if you bit them on the leg. It's so simple. The gospel is so simple. You need to just trust God. And so what I did with this woman, I explained it to her what I was going to do. I commanded the demonic spirit to come out. Then I talked to her about, now that the house is empty, we got rid of them, you need to fill it with something. And I said, the best way to stop them from coming back in, let me explain to you about becoming a Christian, how simple that is. You know, accepting Jesus Christ in your heart and let him come in. He says, "I stand at the door and I knock. and I just wait for you to open the door and let me come in. And so when I explained that it was so simple to accept Jesus Christ, all she had to do was to accept Jesus Christ as her Lord and Saviour. Then he would come in through the Holy Spirit, will live in her. And now the house is not only clean, but it's filled with God at the same time. So then I prayed for her. She became a Christian. I led her to the Lord. And then I did what a lot of pastors don't realise. A lot of white pastors don't understand the spiritual significance of cutting off the ancestral ties when it comes to Aboriginal people. Well, not only Aboriginal people, but people from Fiji, people from Tonga, those people and Africans, and that is so spiritually these people are, that you got to cut off the ancestral ties. And that's what I did. I prayed and cut off the ancestral ties. That was Christmas Day. And months later, I haven't had any messages saying, please help me, please help me. All I've had was good messages saying, things are a lot better since you prayed for me. And you know, this woman says to me, keep praying for me, keep praying for me. So what I want to tell you today is the answer to the question at the very start was, what do I do when I come under spiritual attack? Well, let's see what we do before we come under spiritual attack. What we need to do is when you wake up in the morning, go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 91, and read it. It's a prayer of protection for you and your loved ones and your family. Then when I finish that, I go straight across to Ephesians. I go to chapter 6, verse 11. And if I'm really feeling generous, I'll start at verse 10 and I read right through to 24. And then I claim the promises that's written in those words over my life, over my loved ones, over my family.
Power and strength.
That was Jamie Owens Collins. The battle does belong to the Lord. As Tony suggested in today's talk, Psalm 91 that Tony referred to says this: "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare of the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I am trusting him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from the fatal plague. He will shield you with his wings. He will shelter you with his feathers. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor fear the dangers of the day, nor dread the plague that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you, but you will see it with your eyes. You will see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your dwelling, for he orders his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you with their hands to keep you from striking your foot on a stone. You will trample down lions and poisonous snakes. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. I will satisfy them with a long life and give them my salvation." Tony also mentioned Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 18. "Be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere." Before we go, Tony has a little more to share.
A friend of mine, I've been praying this prayer, Psalm 91 and Ephesians, for this family member. And this friend of mine, her son was fishing, caught a shark. Anyway, he sort of cut the look. I mean, I would run a mile if I caught a shark. You wouldn't even get me anywhere near the water. He went to get the hook out and the shark clamped his mouth on his hand, went right through, stuff like that. But at the time, you see, because I've been praying for this family, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Tony, you need to pray." And I prayed, and this guy was on a deserted beach by himself, and he was half an hour before somebody came to his rescue. But you see, when we pray for our loved ones and our friends, we pray protection, God's protection over them, God will protect them. God will always deliver. God is never short on his promises. God says, "I am King of kings, Lord of lords. There's no other God above me, and I am here because I love you." And you know, when Jesus went to the cross, he went there because he loved you. He loved you, he loved me, he loved everything about us. You know, even when we're not saved, God loves us. You know, God loved this old black fella for a long, long time before I got saved. Even when I was robbing banks, owned a brothel and did all these other things, God still loved me. After I got saved, he didn't love me any more than he loved me before I was saved. He loved me, and he doesn't love me any less when I was not saved, and he can't love me any less now because God is perfect love.
Yeah.
King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.